Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." Now, I'm going to share some verses with you today that help, some reference verses help us with these verses today, this passage. One of the things that you notice here, of course, as we've already said, the contrast here, the contrast, we have the righteous and the wicked. We have contrast of the foolish and the wise in these verses. 375 of them between these chapters 10 and 22, verse 16. And so one of the ways that we can understand these verses, these contrasts and comparisons, sometimes we'll read one that is obscure. One part of it will be difficult to understand. One part may be, you may read it and you think, well, what does that mean? But then you have the contrast of it. So all you do is you realize, okay, that is the opposite of what has been, is hard to understand or does not appear to be clear. And so we can get an understanding of what that means from what it says clearly in the rest of the verse, either in the first part or the second part. So always remember that. So if you read something one part and think, well, what does this mean? I don't understand that. Then read the second part and then just go the opposite, you know, the antonym, so to speak, or the opposite, the contrast. Now in verse 1, again, it tells us that these are from this passage on over, for several chapters into these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Then he wrote about 87% from what I remember studying of the Proverbs, but God is the author of all of them, ultimately speaking. But in verse 1, it repeats a statement. It says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Now, this thought, again, of the wise and the foolish. And we have in many of these cases, you're going to find that a father is mentioned in one phrase and the mother in the next. And we understand that both, like for instance, in verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. I can rest assured that the mother would be glad too. Amen? You see what we're saying? And then it's just part of the language and the way that it's said to make the contrast. And it provides emphasis. It makes it interesting. It makes you think. And it says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." You know either by experience or you know by observation how true this verse is. A lot of the verses in God's Word, in these passages, are very plain and easy to understand. It says all of them say what they mean and mean what they say. But some of them don't need much explanation, let's say. But this is one of those. Let me give you a verse, though. Proverbs 17, verses 21 and 25. It says, "He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him." And the reason is that normally speaking or naturally speaking, a father and mother love their children. They love their children. They care about them. That's why they pray for them. They should work to make sure that you desire for them to turn out right. You do your best. We should do our best. We only have them in our house for a period of time, and we should do our best. And so, this is a reminder, we don't, you know, some children want to blame mom and dad for their misbehavior. You ever notice that? Or they want to blame their parents, they want to blame their principal, they want to blame whoever it is that's over them. They blame them instead of taking their own personal responsibility. But we're all responsible for our actions. And the sooner that we see that, and the sooner as teenagers, children, see that, the better off they're going to be. And we have, in our society, in our culture, it seems that we have a lot of adults that haven't caught on to that yet, that they're responsible for their own actions. Why, if you went to the local jail and asked them, why are you here? Well, chances are they're going to blame somebody else. Well, somebody had it in for me. The police had it in for me. Or somebody turned me in. Or, you know. No, they did what they did, and they're responsible for their own actions. And so that is one of the first things that a child needs to, as they grow older, become an adult, is realize they're responsible for their own actions. Now, I told my children, I said, you know, if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't say anything to you. I'd let you go on your own merry way and run into whatever problems that you wanted to run into if I didn't care about you. But because I care about you, I want to try to warn you. And I've used the example before. Do we put a fence at the top of a cliff or an ambulance at the bottom? And for children, they need a fence at the top of the cliff. When we were at the Grand Canyon this past Monday with the grandkids, you know, there's places they don't have fences out there. For those that's been there, and it's not far. You don't have to go far to get in big time trouble. It's a long way down. Even if you don't fall all the way to the bottom, you're going to fall far enough to hurt yourself really bad. And we had to keep an eye on the kids. They were getting up too close to things, and we'd get back here. Get back here. Don't be climbing over that fence. You know, they didn't see the consequences. They didn't see the danger. But I did. We did, didn't we? I mean, it was almost to the point where we couldn't enjoy ourselves for the kids watching them. We were watching them instead of being able to look at that. We had 7 of the grandkids out there, all of them 11 and under, and some of them real little. But they're well behaved, as how do you say that, as far as you would expect. But they're curious, and some of them's got a lot of energy, you know. And we got one granddaughter that's got enough energy for 4 kids, but she's a good girl, but she's just got a lot of energy, and she likes to run, she likes to play, she'll turn and flip, she's all the time doing something. And so if you didn't care about them, you say, okay, we'll see you. We're going to go down here and look at this. No, you care about them. And that's why it hurts when they do something foolish, when they hurt themselves or somebody else. It hurts. It hurts both mom and dad. In verse 2, it says, treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Treasures of wickedness. This means money or something that's been gotten by thievery, by theft, or by deceit, something that's been taken wrongfully, something that's been obtained wrongfully. Treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing. You say, wait a minute, I've heard of folks that, maybe not myself, but others have taken things that and they've enjoyed life, and they've enjoyed all the things that their money could buy. Well, let's read the rest of it. But righteousness delivereth from death. There's a point where all that has been obtained wrongfully will fly away, will be gone, because they won't be taking it with them where they're going. And there is a judgment one day. And the Lord knows how to judge those who have done wrong. He knows how to reward those who have done right. We can trust Him with that. We don't need to worry about folks getting away with things, because they're not going to get away with it. In one respect, we all deserve hell. We all deserve judgment. But by the grace of God, by the blood of Christ, we've been forgiven, we've been cleansed. And we need to pray for those that have not trusted the Lord yet, that may be doing wrong or going in the wrong direction, because the end result's not going to be good for those who do not know the Lord. Let me give you a verse here, Proverbs 11, verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. That's a time that they stand before the Lord. But righteousness delivereth from death. Now, it's not the first death, it's the second death. Did you know if you are born once, you die twice? But if you're born twice, you die once. Being born again, that second birth means that I'll only die once. This physical death. And even then, he's taking the sting of death out. There's dying grace that'll be given at that time. But for those who do not know the Lord, there is a second death, isn't there? The sting of death has not been taken away for them. And also, as the Scripture talks about being cast into hell and the lake of fire. So there's nothing to be gained from doing that and taking that, which doing it wrongfully. There's nothing to be gained from that. As what it says here, treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing. And the Bible talks about having wealth or riches in a bag with holes in it. You know, it talks about that. And of course, it has a lot to talk about riches even further on in this passage. Now, let's read on. Treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Look at verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. This word soul here is not just talking about that part of us which is invisible, but it's talking about our entire life. Everything about us. Our soul, spirit, body, our entire life. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. In Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. By the way, Psalms actually, technically, the Psalms are not chapters. They're individual Psalms. If you look at the Psalms, it'll say Psalm 34, not Psalm chapter 34. Like in Proverbs, you'll see chapter 10. But we all call them chapters. So anyway. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10, it says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want or lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. The word want in Psalms means lacking, like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, meaning lacking, that which we need. He is our shepherd. And so the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. I believe it's in Psalm 37. The psalmist David said, "I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I neither seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." Those that trust the Lord, those that fear the Lord will take care of. That's what it says, and that's why it says here, the Lord will not suffer. The word suffer means allow. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish or to go without. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. It's like those that are not serving the Lord, that which they have is fleeting. And it will not provide satisfaction to their heart. You see, all the things in this world, and we can look at society, we can look at family, we can look at friends, we can look at neighbors, we can look at people and say, well, you know, they've got this and they've got that, or you may have things. It's not wrong to have things, it's wrong for things to have us. But people who have things that have them, what joy is there in that? There's no satisfaction there because they always want more. Was it one of the Rockefellers, I think, was asked, he had so many millions, I don't know, maybe had billions, but somebody asked him, how many millions more do you want? He said, one more. One more. That's how he got one more. It's because he wanted it. Now, what did that do? Made him want more? What I'm saying is there was no satisfaction there. It was obvious that all that he had did not satisfy. He still wanted more. And so We have to realize that in this life, the things of this world, being in love with the world, it's enmity with God, but it takes God's place. It shouldn't take God's place. We shouldn't be in love with passing things. That's what worldliness is being in love with passing things. He casteth away the substance of the wicked. It's going to go away. It's going to come to naught. They're going to leave it all behind to somebody. And we will too. But see, what we value, what does it say here in the first part of the verse? The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. You know why? Because we look at everything that we have is from the Lord. It becomes a spiritual thing. It's not just a material thing. It becomes a spiritual thing. Because He's given it to us. He's allowed us to have it. He's blessed us with it. And we connect it with Him. And if He wants to take it, He can. If you read the book of Job, you'll find that he lost everything in one day. And he's far wealthier than any of us sit here today. He lost it all in one day, and also his children. And so, Bible says, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave it. He can take it away, can he? Amen. In verse 4, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. A slack hand. Making your hand slack. If your hand is slack, it means you're not using it for anything, right? Yeah. You can't grab anything with a slack hand. You don't want me trying to pick up this water cup with a slack hand, do you? Because it won't work. It has to be strong and strength. What that's talking about is working. It's talking about laboring. It's talking about using our hands to do something that is profitable. Especially in the Old Testament, there was this principle that they understood, the children of Israel, and through the book of Proverbs, you're going to see that those who worked hard had more than those who didn't. Does that make sense? Those who work hard have more than those who don't. So, what they had and was looked at as a blessing. It was looked at as given from God, but they still realized that God gave the strength to work for it. God gives us strength. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, meaning that he's not working. He's not using his talents and ability to do that which is profitable, that which will provide for his own. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. There is riches, there's material, there's things to be received from working. Now I'm going to give you a couple of verses, and you've read these no doubt here in Proverbs chapter 20, verses 4 and verse 13. Listen to this. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. What's he talking about here? He's talking about don't become lazy to the point, don't sleep when you should be working. You know, there's a time to sleep and there's a time to work. But don't be sleeping when you should be working. He says a sluggard. You know what a slug is, don't you? You've seen slugs? They don't go very fast, do they? You ever seen a slug doing much? You ever seen a slug mowing the grass or driving a livery truck? No, you won't see that. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Oh, it's just too cold to get out and plow. You know, but guess what? If you don't plow, you don't prepare. If you don't plant, you won't. If you don't sow, you won't reap. By reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Love not sleep, neither lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. And it's principle of working, putting in a day's work for a day's pay. God says that's the way it should be. That is normal, that's natural, that's the way it's been set up, the way that we live. Now it says, But he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Now, one thing I wanted to make mention. In Proverbs, summer, when it mentions summertime, it's talking about harvest time. In our thinking, we think of fall as being harvest, don't we? There's not a lot said about fall time as such, or autumn, but a lot said about summer. But, you know, there, if you think about it, think of all the things that you reap or harvest in the summertime. And what do we reap in the fall? Well, feed corn and some things, pumpkins. there's some things you reap in the fall, apples, you know. Most of all the other things, you're going to find the most at the end of a summertime. And so that's what we need to see, understand, that that's what it's talking about here. When it mentions summer, it's talking about harvest time. Now, it says in verse, for he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Talking about that same time of the year, one's gathering and one is sleeping. One's doing what he should be doing, the other one is sleeping. Then in verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Share a verse with you. In Proverbs chapter 28, in verse, I skipped a verse. Let me go back. Let me share this other verse with you. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. She provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. That was the verse that I want to use to illustrate what I was talking about a moment ago. Okay, verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 28 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Blessings are upon the head of the just. There is this blessing in Jewish tradition and custom. A blessing was transferred from the father to the son to the eldest. This blessing, and that it says, blessings are upon the head of the just. Those that were not part of the family, not doing what they should be doing, not doing their part, were not considered ones that should be blessed. Blessings are upon the head of the just, meaning that it's an obvious thing that God's blessed those who are doing as they should. By the way, when you come across this word righteousness here, both here and in the book of Psalms, and it's not just talking, or may not be talking particularly about the imputed righteousness of God. See, there's two kinds of righteousness. There's the righteousness that, well, there's you could say that there is self-righteousness, which is not a righteousness at all, okay? We're not including that. But when we're talking about, there's the righteousness of God in the Scripture that's imputed to us, because we have none of our own. But here it's talking about, when it's talking about, like Psalms 23, walking in paths of righteousness, it's talking about right living or doing the right thing. Just doing the right thing, that we know that this is what God wants us to do because it's what His Word says and it's the right thing to do. So we see this thought here. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. There is this understanding and this attitude, let's say. There's an attitude that what we get, what we obtain, we want the Lord to be honored with because we received it. We honor Him and thank Him for it. But that which is received by violence... Let's look at the last part of this verse, verse 6. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Those, and we're talking about those who have rejected the Lord, those that are not afraid to say what they feel, those who are going their direction, going their own way, and they don't want anything to do with the Lord. They are not afraid to share how they feel. And you've run into folks like that that'll tell you that they're not interested in the Lord. They're going to do it their way. They're not interested in what mom, dad likes or thought or what they think. They're going to go their own direction. And so he's talking about an attitude here that is contrary to the righteous path, to the walking, following the Lord. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. There's going to be, you see, whatever's in the well of the heart will come up in the bucket of the mouth. Right? Didn't the Lord say that in Matthew chapter 15? Whatever's in your heart will come out in your actions and evil thoughts, fornication, adulteries. That which comes out, not with that which goes in, but that which comes out, which defileth the man, it says in Matthew 15. Now, in this verse, in verse 7, it says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And we can think of folks that have been a blessing to us in years past. It may have been a relative, it may have been a pastor, it may have been a neighbor, it may have been a teacher at school. But when you remember them, it's a good thought. It's a pleasant thing to remember them. But then there's others, it's not so pleasant. I mean, my wife could bring up some names to me and I'd go, oh, I wouldn't have thought of him for $5. Oh, you say, wait a minute, isn't that, no, I'm just being honest. There's some people who, oh. Did you know folks are not naming their sons Judas nowadays? You know there's a reason for that? Iscariot? How many sons have you known named Hitler? Well, some people name their dogs stuff like that. You know, they're German shepherds, I guess. I don't know. Rommel. The name, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Names mean something, don't they? When we hear somebody's name, it either brings a pleasant thought or a thought. Not so pleasant. How do we want to be remembered, right? When somebody thinks of us now or then, after we're gone, do we want them to have a, oh yeah, they were good folks. I miss them. Or, wow. Wouldn't have thought of him for $5. Psalm 112, verse 6 says, Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. I want to be an everlasting remembrance, don't you? I don't know how many of you have heard of the preacher, pastor, his name's Clyde Box. Anybody ever heard of Clyde Box? Clyde Box pastored out in Texas for many years, and he was he preached in Bible conferences and such throughout the South. Heard him many times preach. He passed away yesterday. But he wrote, I've got a book of poems that he wrote, godly scriptural poems, just tremendous poet as well as a preacher. And he passed away yesterday. When I think of Clyde Box, I think, wow, I'm going to miss him. He was such a blessing. He died right, let's say. He died in the service of the Lord. But you know, we hear about people who have committed crimes and we think, wow, so terrible. But the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. That's something that we should desire, is that our name should be remembered. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now let's bow our heads for prayer, and we'll be dismissed today in a word of prayer.